Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And are you getting over your little spell with the flu bug?
Well, I'm far from 100%, but I'll do my best, sir.
Oh, good. Well, I want to talk about Afghanistan. Interesting report came out. You know, the Washington Post published it. I give them a little bit of credit for that. That's good. The Inspector General at the Pentagon, we have to give him some credit because he was in charge of the investigation. And it looks like it was an extensive investigation. And there was a little bit of controversy because he just didn't do the inspection and make it a public record, which is, you know, what you do in a republic. But there was a contest in the course, and finally it was released. And there's nothing, I'm sure, that you would think, nor would I think, oh, this is brand new. We're shocked. We didn't believe it. It more or less confirmed to us the stupidity of the war. And what's interesting to me is the extensive interviews they did with the military personnel, you know, individuals, and a lot of quotes from them, and they were quite frank. And that to me is impressive. But My thing, I throw up my hands and yes, but why did it take so long? And the one thing that is characteristic of problems like this is, you know, whether it's the Vietnam War or the Spanish-American War or whatever, it isn't before we get into trouble, or the Iraq War and Persian Gulf War. It's always after a lot of damage is done. 18 years. And I think there were a few groups. We did a little bit of that from our position in the Congress. But there were other groups. There were peace groups that were mentioned. And even actually the progressives were better than, well, of course, the average Republican. But anyway, the consensus was, and it just takes so long and so much tragedy, so much money, so many deaths. And we know the number of deaths, like 2,400 Americans killed, 24,000 wounded. And they never mention the collateral damage done and the real reason why we are losing a status in the world, and justifiably so, because people are getting sick and tired of us bringing democracy and liberty to the world. So this is a report that is very important. But I guess the other thing that crossed my mind, especially today, because, you know, we have our own problems here. We have a constitutional crisis, and we have to pay attention. And what is it? 90% of the news is on the impeachment? And I don't know. So far, I try to look at the station. So far, they're not talking about this war, you know, and this really is the essence of our problems that we have. And even this whole argument about the impeachment, if we had a non-interventionist foreign policy, 90% of that nonsense wouldn't even have had a chance to arouse. You know, they wouldn't have been available to make all these accusations.
Yeah, and this is really a fascinating thing because this is a report done by the Special Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction, John Sopko. And we followed some of their work. You know, we've talked about their frequent reports. And what they did is in 2014, they launched a Lessons Learned project where they interviewed 600 people with firsthand experience in the war. And that would be people all the way up from the very top to people who were unnamed. But many of them are named. 2,000 explosive pages. I think Sopko was kind of an unsung hero for this. Although they resisted, the Washington Post wanted to FOIA this. They tried to get their hands on it. For 3 years, they've been in lawsuits trying to get their hands on this. When they finally were able to get their hands on it, and they published it just a couple of days ago, what it revealed, people who are cynics could say that they're not shocked, but what it revealed is to the very highest level, including the three of our last presidents, every single one of them came out with flat-out lies. They knew they were lies. Things are going well. Things are doing better, getting a little better over there. They knew it was a complete lie. They said it anyway. And I think that is a very important service that they've done.
You know, the anti-war proponents had a little bit of hope after the tragedy of Vietnam, thinking that, you know, with the tragedy and the Pentagon Papers and us losing the war, losing all these lives and spending so much money, that there was, I think they refer to it as the Vietnam War syndrome, and that is, we've learned our lesson and we're going to be less interventionist. But George Bush Sr., we finally took care of that. We'll show him. We'll have the Persian Gulf War and teach Saddam Hussein a lesson.
Yeah.
And marched in a lot of troops and you know, and that reversed it. And they figured, well, the neocons are back in vogue. And actually, they were. And they're the ones who have been in charge of this 18-year war. But what, when are they going to wake up with this much? Could it be possible that our country will wake up now and actually accept what they tried to for a short while, except after the Vietnam War? But no, it's the warmongering neocons who are in control of so much of the sentiments and the publicity will be back at it and continue it, because if just look at what Trump goes through, he's not a non-interventionist, but if he moves a couple troops in one direction and says he's not going to put troops in the middle of that war, I mean, the grief he gets from Republicans and Democrats. So this is a time when hopefully the American people will wake up, because it was the American people that finally said, we're sick and tired of Vietnam. And then the Congress had to listen to them. But it looks like we don't get that many good people in Congress who even understand it, because they're all very supportive of it. And the tragedy that we talk about now is even some of the allies that consider themselves progressives, but were pretty good on anti-war, they've diminished as important. The answer to this is not going to be in the Congress. It has to be done by the American people waking up and saying, enough is enough, and we've had too much of this nonsense war. And when you look at how they go into war, they should agree with it. They lie us into war, and then it takes 18 years of more lies to keep us in the war. And people barely ask any questions. It just goes on and on. So, but they're talking about important things like the technicalities in the impeachment. Now, that's important, because, you know, the people who are citing the Constitution here, and this impeachment thing has all to do with the Constitution. But do they ever talk about the Constitution and the war that was started? If they were constitutionalists, we wouldn't have been there for 18 years.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, according to this article, you know, we spent more in inflation-adjusted dollars to rebuild Afghanistan than we did in the entire Western Europe after World War II.
Amazing.
And then we had Western Europe, an economic powerhouse. Afghanistan is still a disaster. And here's the thing. Obama lied to the American people. He called it the good war. He knew it wasn't a good war by that time. He knew it was failing. He lied anyway. And I think this whole thing gives us a brief glimpse behind the phony edifice of the national security state. They pretend that they're doing this to keep us safe. And you look at the reality, it's only to enrich them. I clipped a couple of clips that we found from these interviews, Dr. Paul, and I thought maybe we might want to chew on these a little bit. These are what the people were saying when they thought that nobody would ever read this. This is confidential. Here's what they really thought. Let's put a couple of these up. Here's Rumsfeld. I have no visibility into who the bad guys are, Rumsfeld said. We are woefully deficient in human intelligence. This is just before we went into the war. No idea who the bad guys are. And here is a senior U.S. diplomat. We don't invade poor countries to make them rich. We don't invade authoritarian countries to make them democratic. We invade violent countries to make them peaceful. And we clearly failed in Afghanistan. Well, he's right about the last part. But how do you invade and attack a violent country to make it peaceful? You know, that's like drinking alcohol to get sober. Maybe one or two more if we have time. Because I think this is important. It really gives us a sense of what this is all about. Let's go on to the next one. This is a little long, if we can. But this is interesting. Here's Rumsfeld. I may be impatient. In fact, I know I'm a bit impatient, he wrote in a memo to one of his senior aides. We are never going to get the U.S. military out of Afghanistan unless we take care to see that there is something going on that will provide us the stability that will be necessary. The next line he wrote, help. This is the guy who's leading us into the war. Help. We have no idea what we're doing.
And you know, there was a quote that I want to follow up what you're saying from Michael Flynn, a general that was very much involved there. And he's been in the news, of course. And he's has some interesting things to say. He says, commanders and policymakers on the spectrum of news, they want always to be good news.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking about his military people, operation or commanders, State Department policymakers, and Department of Defense policymakers are going to be inherently rosy in their assessment. They will be unaccepting of hard-hitting intelligence. They just won't do it. He says, for Flynn, the problem was not reserved to the higher-ups, but individual commanders at battalions and brigade levels. This is a quote from Flynn. This was true for every commander. They all said when they left, they accomplished the mission. Every single commander, not one commander, is going to leave Afghanistan or Iraq or any place. Not one is going to leave and say, you know what? We didn't accomplish our mission. And yet the American people know, the ones who have paid any attention, our government, our leaders, our Congress, our military, and all that security that's directed toward the American people, you know, we're being surveyed. They didn't accomplish their mission either. But you know what we hear on our website once in a while? Ron, you're all mixed up. The neocons did accomplish their mission, and that is even a sadder tale, because that may be the case. And when we see that how over the centuries, actually how this country has been maneuvered into war, and it isn't just an accident, and it's always couched in the Constitution and also couched in freedom and liberty. So this is the sad part, but this hope that we can emphasize people to pay more attention to this, because this is the essence of the problem and the essence of understanding what non-interventionism is all about.
And this is the example of why non-interventionism will always fail. We went in with unlimited billions of dollars and we said, hey, we're going to reconstruct your society. We're going to give you a government. Here's how you do it. You got to have a centralized government. You got to do this. You got to have an IRS, a central bank. You got to do this, that, and the other. We're going to make it just like our country. It's impossible to do that. It can't be done. But what's interesting is also why we lost the war, why after $1 trillion spent, the war was lost. And I was thinking, Dr. Paul, when I was looking at this report and everything, I was thinking back to witness after witness in the impeachment trial. And they all said the same thing. For Trump to withhold that money to Ukraine, well, that goes against the position of the interagency. And we said, what's that? No one's ever heard of that. What's that mean? And it's interesting, from George Kent, William Taylor, Fiona Hill, and all the others. Goes against the interagency. He can't make that change. Well, there's a professor actually out in Syracuse, Carl Schramm, who did a really interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal just a couple of days ago about the interagency. And I will bring us back to Afghanistan, trust me. It seems like it's a tangent. But he talks about this interagency concept, and it really hit me. This is why we had no chance of winning, whatever that means. Listen to this quote from the professor. I first heard of the interagency in Baghdad in 2009. As a U.S. Army general briefed us on how the war was being fought, he spoke of the interagency as a source of the strategy he was executing. Naively, I asked, why wasn't he operating according to orders from his military superiors or the Secretary of Defense? He explained that American war fighting was guided by a whole of government philosophy. Incredibly, he explained that the war couldn't be won without, among other agencies, the U.S. Agency for International Development, Departments of Agriculture, Commerce, Health and Human Services, Justice, Labor. Iraq needed economic expansion, modern farming, business statistics, new hospitals, a working court system, and workplace regulations. The strategy formed by the interagency was nothing less than a years-long engagement in nation-building. So this is why. There's just something in it for everyone. They don't care if these guys are failing, if they're worse off than they started. Everyone gets their big piece of the pie.
Victory is not the goal.
Not at all.
And that's why they never have an exit strategy. They don't even pretend anymore. But, you know, along with this justification that they use, the one reason why it really fails is we go in and we want them, we're fighting to have liberty and probably a central bank and an IRS, this kind of stuff, and a centralized government.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody knows anything about the history of Afghanistan, they are very diverse. They are decentralized, and they've lived that way, and they've had no complaints about it. And it's almost ironic that that's what the intention was in our founding. It was the intention, even in the Constitution, that we would have essentially 13 separate colonies, and they were continued as entities in themselves. So here we are going over there, and we could learn a lesson from them. The decentralization that they want, the independence of the smaller units, that was an original idea that we had, and it's been long lost. So since we have then become, you know, a centralized government, then we have also morphed into being the policemen of the world, and we're exactly opposite of the individual country or the philosophy that should be trying to help these people. I mean, it's okay if people want to know and understand what, you know, non-interventionism all. But this whole idea that we can march in there and tell them that this tendency to have independent states or, you know, groups of people is a problem. We have to change it. I think we ought to learn a lesson for what the, how they want to run their own country.
And that's the kind of people that work in these government agencies. They're not real world people. They don't run businesses. They're not subject to the customers. They simply build the pie in the sky. So the thing that I would say, you know, as we get closer to closing, I think, is President Trump, you know, he's seen this before him. He needs to blow up the interagency. It's gone. If we need to fight a war, we need the Pentagon to go in there and blow something up if we're truly threatened after war is declared. We don't need USAID and the Justice Department involved in war planning. It's absurd and it's insane. According to the Brown University's Cost of War Project, since 2001, the State Department, the Defense Department, and USAID have either spent or had appropriated between $934 and $978 billion for Afghanistan. This is the greatest ripoff in history. If you want to talk about impeachment, every single president that was involved in this, every single person that stood up and lied, every general that stood up and lied, they should be impeached, they should be court-martialed, they should be brought to answer for this massive, massive ripoff. And hopefully Americans now will start listening a little bit more when Dr. Paul talks about non-interventionism, because the fact of the matter is, even if you want to succeed, it's impossible to remake someone else's society.
Very good. And I'll close with summarizing, you know, this whole subject and the frustration that we have expressed so often, and that is that the people who probably have been correct over their advice, they are never consulted. Matter of fact, they're excluded and demonized. And this is in economic matters as well as in foreign policy matters. They don't go to, I mean, Vietnam, for instance. Did they go to the people who said, well, this is unwise? And there were people who were saying this is not good. And I remember the saying that General MacArthur said, don't get involved in a ground war in the Far East. And people advised against that. But after the mistakes are made, they never go to people who were absolutely right, whether it's on economic problems, and when then we have a crash and a rupture of a bubble and we have a depression. Do they ever go to those people and say, yeah, what was going on? You know, why did this happen? No, they have to. They don't want the truth. They don't work with this whole thing. And, you know, just recently we had this killing going on in Pensacola in Florida, and a couple people got killed, and it's a tragedy. But the one thing I noticed is this was, you know, the use of the word terrorism is obscene because it's just a farce on what they're talking about. And when they really want to justify it to expand their power, they do. But this was questionable because if we say this was something to do with terrorism and an Islamic radical did the killing, oh, that means there might be something wrong with our foreign policy. And so they sort of skirted over that. But believe me, the room for continuation of blowback is going to get worse as the years go on, because people are going to see the weakening of our system and the weakening of our foreign policy, and yet their anger over our intervention, economic intervention and military intervention and sanctions and all these things, there's going to be retaliation. And that's what people don't want to hear about, because, you know, it would point out they were wrong, and nobody wants to be wrong. And a quote I used from General Flynn, nobody wants to be wrong. They will lie. And the whole problem is the true information comes too late, and then it's demagogued, and the people are ridiculed for telling the truth. But, you know, it's not that complicated, because all we have to do is pay a little bit of attention to common sense, why non-intervention in foreign policy makes a lot of good sense, and why it's constitutional, why it's moral, and why it'll destroy our country at the rate we're going. So the answers are there, and they're not complicated, and the results are more peace and more prosperity, and yet they continue on and on. And when I think of the discrepancy between what's going on in Washington today and the pretense of, oh, we need to do this for the Constitution, at the same time, yes, we went to Afghanistan to preserve our liberties and preserve our Constitution and spread democracy, and it's ridiculous. We need to wake up a lot of people quickly, because our conditions are going to get worse. And the more people that understand why it's to our advantage to get out of these involvements, the better off all of us will be. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.